There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. Phone line and text line open for you. Same numbers, 343-0106, 343-0106 for a phone call and also for a text. And using the FM Talk 106.5 app, if you'll look, there's a microphone icon, like a picture of a microphone on the front page. If you'll press that, then you record a message and send it, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air as well. So, and I guess if you want to go old school, you can send me an email, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. All right, I mentioned as we went into the news, joining me in studio, candidate for mayor of Mobile, former police chief, Paul Prine. Good to see you, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, good to see you, Sean, and thank you.
This is I'm going to ask you the stupid question at first. So, how's campaigning been? Has it been busy?
Well, it's been very busy, extremely busy, and it seems like I'm everywhere every day, all day long, but I'm having a great time meeting a lot of great people along the way.
When you do that, obviously that's the nature of it, making bonds with people.
Right.
And reminding them you would want them to show up and vote for you in August. Do you get continued input from people saying, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that?
All the time. And I take it, certainly, right? Because there is wisdom and counsel. And sometimes people have better ideas and you may give them your platform or your stump. And some people say, well, maybe you'll consider this in addition to that. And a lot of them are really, really great ideas. And that's really what leaders should be doing, right? We don't have all the answers. And I think that any one person that comes to the table says, I've got all the answers, they've already deceived themselves and the people they're supposed to represent.
So you do have, you have your events. Lots of people come out at your events. People's Choice, you've talked about, that's part of your campaign. What does that mean, People's Choice?
So really, that was just kind of a campaign slogan, right? And so, of course, during my separation with the city last year, a lot of people were dubbing me the People's Chief. And so as we were really kind of gearing up to get involved in the campaign and we were talking to a lot of people, somebody said, you know, you really are the People's Choice. Therefore, you should be the people's mayor. And so it was just, it sounded good. And so, you know, all campaigns kind of have slogans. Mm-hmm. And really, it does define me. I want people to know that I am there for the people. I'm not doing this for myself. I have my retirement. Mm-hmm. I have officially retired as of last year. And so I don't need the job, right? But I've been a 30-year public servant, and my heart is serving people. And I think most people seen that. Even when I was the chief, it didn't matter if there was an incident at 5 in the afternoon or 5 in the morning, I was always there to meet the demand and to make sure that the people knew that we had everything under control.
And I do want to talk public safety with you. I mean, sure. You come in with that brand. But before we do that, let's talk about the other parts of it. Because we go, okay, former police chief, he gets it, he gets public safety. But that's not the only job of being mayor. And you've talked about these things on the campaign trail. Let's talk about, housing, blight, business, these things, while just like any adult, you're familiar with them, but that wasn't your main job.
Right. So I appreciate you bringing that up, right? Because there is the ceiling that, hey, he was a great police chief. He's been a great police officer for 30 years. But is he more than that? And so I think what's important, there's really two type of disciplines that your leader, especially a mayor, has to have. One, understanding, fundamental understanding of what the role of government is, what business is, right? And then we also have to understand public safety, both not just law enforcement, but public safety in general, certainly over in the fire department as well, and how that works. So with a formal education, certainly I have, you know, an undergraduate degree in business. So I understand the principles of business, and I also understand criminal justice because I have a graduate degree in criminal justice. Those are the small parts, okay? The big parts is I've ran a $75 million a year budget with the City of Mobile Police Department. I understand what the fundamental role of government is, which is essentially public safety, public infrastructure, and public conveniences. So this is what I would just tell your voters, right, is what qualifies any candidate to run for mayor for the City of Mobile, as diverse as Mobile is. And I've tell people, there is no other candidate in this race that has given more to the City of Mobile than Paul Prine has. And I don't say that to be pretentious or arrogant. I say that to say because it is a heartfelt-led occupation, and I've done it. And so I'm glad you asked that question because people need to understand, not only was I shot in the line of duty, and I always tell people that does not qualify me to be the mayor, but the fact that I continue to serve the same community for another 23 years qualifies the heart to be for the mayor. Now, as in regards to the fundamental role of government, right, I've told you I've ran a $75 million a year budget with the police department. The City of Mobile has roughly a $350 million a year budget. The hardest part of leadership in government is the leader thinking they have all the answers. Paul doesn't have all the answers. What Paul does do is very good at bringing people to the table that do have the answers. And I'll give you just one quick example. On the campaign trail, Sean, I have found out the permitting process, the zoning issues that we have, a lot of them are antiquated. Business people are waiting sometimes year, 2 years to get their permit to start their construction. And I think that's unfortunate because we have to be business friendly. We have to cater to the business community to be able to bring that and generate that revenue to come in. So while I may be very good at law enforcement or public safety in general, it's no different than the governor. It's absolutely no different than the president of the United States, is that your cabinet, your people closest to the inner circle have to have the expertise to be able to pick the ball up and continue down and move in this city in the right direction.
You know, on business side first, to find somebody who could fix that, because this has been an issue for decades, right? I mean, this has been an issue for decades. People, number one, I've just heard around town. Number two, this text line and these phone lines, I've been hearing it for 16 years on this station. The impediment for business. Like, hey, I want to open a business to employ people in Mobile and pay taxes, but I'm having to jump through hoops to do it. How do you just go? I mean, it seems, here's the problem. I sit here in my chair and go, well, you just go in there and fix it. But that's also a naive approach, maybe.
Well, I think that's a great point. You just said that, how do you fix it? Well, it's just what you said. It is an impediment. It's bureaucracy. And so we have to find a way to streamline that process. And I think some efforts have been made. But in government, there's an old saying that the more it changes, the more it stays the same. And so the truth is, we have to remove the layers of bureaucracy and allow the business people to get out, thrive, and prosper, because that's where we get our money. The other issue with that is every time the government finds a way to infringe and tax a business, they're going to do it. They do it to the people as well, but they're definitely going to do it to the business owners. And I've heard horror stories over the last 3 months about how businesses have been nickel and dimed by the government to get money in the coffers. And I think it's important for all the business leaders out there to say, you have the harder job. You have to learn to turn a revenue. That means that in business, you have to learn the external, the internal variables that affect your business. What worked last month may not be working today. We have to find a way to make it work today and beyond. Government does not do that. Government only takes in tax money, essentially. And then what we have to do is certainly, you know, have the fundamental understanding of business to be able to determine what we're spending our tax dollars on, right? And, of course, you know, I know it's a sore subject, but, you know, we can take, the WAVE system. We spent $10 million last year, and we took in about $1.25 million on the return of an investment. And so that's really what your leaders are supposed to be doing. Treat this money as if it's your own money, in the way that we're not going to go out here and do frivolous spending. We're not going to spend money on things that we shouldn't be spending money on, and make sure that we're being transparent with the people. If we are doing what we're supposed to be doing from a clean heart and a pure conscience, there is no reason that we don't have transparency and accountability with the public, and that's who we answer to.
Yeah, that the WAVE transit system, I've had this thought that it's like I have some kind of Corvette with a huge engine, but the only roads I can drive on are 35 miles an hour. I don't need the huge Corvette engine.
Right.
we could still have transportation. Do we need the same size buses? Do we? I mean, is there any way to rethink that? Not being an expert, other than anecdotal things I see and people talk, you know, you ride by and there's two people in a bus, no people in a bus. Would they be better with a van? I don't know.
Well, that's common sense approach, whether it's a van, a smaller bus, you know, maybe a 16-passenger bus. But have we thought about voucher systems? You know, we should be working with the WAVE system, right? While we contract them out to do the job, we should have access to the data and the information of who the riders are and make it income-based. And, you know, listen, some of these drivers, we can put them to work in the transportation industry and kind of sub that part out. But you think about this. If we're only receiving one in a million a year, then maybe we can allocate $2 million a year and ensure that those that need the system the most can use that system, whether it's through Lyft or what's the other one, Uber.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that's what I would do. I'm just simply saying there are better options out there, and nobody is more efficient and effective than the private sector.
Coming right back. More with Paul Fine running for mayor of Mobile.
Yeah.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Check in with my man David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and find out what's it looking like on a Monday, inventory-wise. What's up? There it is. I got to press that button. There you go, David.
Okay, we've been busy this morning. We've had customers everywhere, so I don't know. It's not a holiday that I know of. We've got a great inventory, Sean. We've got one of the better inventories, and I know I've said that before, but we've got a little bit of everything out here. I mean, from small SUVs, even with a Denali package, down to some that are affordable, you know, for somebody that needs a real cheap payment. We've got trucks that fit any payment range. We've got cars. I mean, it's just a really, really good inventory right now.
Okay. Also, I mean, you talked about making it work for people. I've been pointing this out over the years, as you have, even better than I. It's not just one lender you work with. You have a bunch of people looking for a business.
Correct. And the deal there, too, is, you know, sometimes the more lenders a dealer has, the more they shoot you to. And then people don't want their credit shot all over the world. We don't do that. I mean, James and I have been doing this for a long time. We can look at things and figure out where you need to go. That's going to get you the best rate and the best term for what you qualify for. And just because your credit's challenged right now doesn't mean that in, you know, a couple of years we can't help you get it rebuilt and to where you can get a really good rate the next time. So we've got, you know, rates in single digits for people with good credit, and rates go all the way up to people with bad credit. But you've got to pay to play again if you want to get back in the game.
All right. Well, tell people how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM. Continue our conversation with former Chief Prime candidate for mayor of Mobile. Grab some calls or some text here. Tim said to ask you what you think about Connie Hudson and Randall DeWitt signing over the county right away to Big Creek Lake to the water company.
Yeah, that's a great question, Tim. I don't have all the information. That really is a county matter rather than a city matter. However, we do know that the city councilors have input when they appoint the mall's commissioners or the members of the board over there. And so while I don't have all the information, I don't know that that was necessarily a good thing to do. And I think it's probably just a good time to say that you have a couple of people in the mayor's race that are somehow or another connected with this MALS board, whether they're the president of the board or the chairman of the board. And it just don't seem like we get enough of real information or transparency from some of these candidates as to why they do what they do. Maybe they can talk about it. Maybe they don't. Maybe it hurts them, I don't know. But I do believe that transparency is sharing information you don't necessarily have to share, even if it costs you something.
Vince says, will there be a candidate's debate? And if so, does Prime think that there will be mudslinging?
Well, I'm confident there'll be mudslinging, and I've declared that I would run a clean campaign. I think when people get to mudslinging personally, that they've ran out of content, they've ran out of merit, they've ran out of substance on their campaign. That's just my personal opinion. I'm sure that that's coming, but nonetheless, as far as debates or forums, we've got another debate coming up at Missionary Baptist Church on Oshel Road. I believe it's July the...
I had it last week. Was it
maybe like July the 15th? There may be something coming up July the 8th, and I'll make sure, Sean, to get you that information. We have not had any debates. I think debates are good. The only issue with the debate is that maybe if this thing comes down to a runoff, we'll have a debate. But when you have six, seven, eight candidates, it's kind of hard when everybody gets only 3 or 4 minutes to discuss an issue, and they can't really discuss it in brevity.
Yeah, y'all. See what I said last week? The candidate said it too. I said the same thing. I said, you know, I'm interested in doing something, putting on a debate with this radio station. The problem is, if we have the number of candidates, I can't give anybody more than one quick question.
Sure.
So that's kind of the nature of it. All right. I wanted to talk infrastructure with you too.
Okay.
Riding through the streets of Mobile, there's definitely been improvements that have happened over the time of Sandy Simpson in the mayor's office, but everything's not perfect yet.
Well, no, it's not. And listen, that really is one of the fundamental roles of government, whether it's lighting, street, drainage. Or we're still in 2025. Downtown and Midtown is flooding every time it rains.
Yes.
I had a guy tell me a long time ago, you know, that infrastructure issues are things that don't get politicians reelected. Maybe that's why it's been neglected over the years. I don't know. But if you look at things like homelessness, I consider those a part of the infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have to develop out our business districts, whether it's downtown or any town. The whole issue with the flooding really just comes down to, and it wasn't the current administration, it was a previous administration, but it come down to using smaller drainage pipes versus the larger pipes. And we do that to save money, but we do that to save money on the wrong things, right? Now, here it is, some 17 years later, we're still having flooding in Midtown and downtown, but unfortunately, it's never an issue to the voter until it floods.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, the analogy I've used forever, it's like, hey, family, I know y'all want to go to Disney, but we have to put a new roof on the house this year. It's not as fun as Disney. I get it. We got to put a roof on so we don't get water in our house.
Right, and that's a great analogy. But here's the thing. If we're going to address all these fundamental issues with infrastructure, lighting, and I do think some things have been done, but we've got a long way to go. These things should have been addressed 15, 20 years ago and then maintained along the way, including parks, right? We keep building parks, mm-hmm. but what good is it to build a park if we don't maintain the parks that we currently have? That includes keeping the cameras working and making sure that they're clean, they're cut, and people can go and enjoy the parks. So we have to get back, Sean, to that fundamental role of government. And while I know it's not really pretty to a lot of people, the difference between me and maybe the current administration or even the past three administrations is, did we need a civic center? I think we needed the civic center. I just think that we should have partnered with the private industry and developers and contractors and business people that know how to do it best other than government. And so it seems that we've overextended ourselves financially, at least for the next administration, whoever the mayor is going to be. And don't take my word for it and go to City of Mobile's finance meeting on February the 18th on YouTube. And I think it was Councilman Carroll said it after they had approved the $300 million budget for the civic center. And so I just think that there's a better way to hold contractors and people accountable and do it in a way that the city tax dollars go really where they need to be.
All right. Let's go back to the text line here. Unnamed texter says, how would you be able to work with a city council that you are suing?
Right. So, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm not suing the city. There is some litigation with individuals, right? And so I can't really get into that. I can tell you this, that I am an ultimate consummate professional, right? So one issue really doesn't have to do with another. However, I'm not naive to believe, and I have certainly learned this over in life and in the political arena, that even people our age sometimes can be very immature, right? And I'm not saying that about any one particular person. I'm just simply saying that I am a person that rises above personality conflicts. And one of the reasons why we reduced attrition in the Mobile Police Department by 48% is because the staff and all the way down to the line officers, everyone knew that I did not allow personality conflicts to rule the day.
If you want more information on your campaign, where do they go?
Yeah, so thank you for that. You can go to prying4mayor.com, but it's prying4mayor.com. You can go to Facebook, Prying for Mayor, or Instagram, Prying for Mayor.
All right. I know we'll be talking again between now and the election in August. So thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Sean.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday, and a good time to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Get that week started. First of all, let's talk some precious metals. Gold, silver, what's happening right now with those?
Well, the prices are still up on gold and silver, so if you have any scrap stuff to sell, we're more than happy to buy it and turn around and give you cash for it. And we have special deals on gold and silver, some stuff as low as like 50 cents over spot.
Now, you talk about like scrap pieces. I mean, people start thinking, well, I have coins. You're talking about just jewelry pieces, right? That if people like got one earring and don't have the other or something like that, that y'all buy that kind of stuff.
We do. Yeah, you can bring in any kind of scrap jewelry you've had laying around the house. Or if you're trying to sell some stuff, like your stuff that you've been collecting for a while, be it coins, paper money, whatever it is, we do free appraisals so we can let you know what it's worth. And it's up to you to decide if you want to sell it or not. There's no pressure.
Yeah, just a side story here, y'all, about the free appraisals. So I talk about, you know, I shop with Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Also have family members that over time have needed either to get the value of something, you know, in a tough situation with the passing of a loved one and trying to figure out what things are worth as they're being split up. Talk about my mom looking at a piece of jewelry and somebody's telling her it's worth X. Y'all took a look at it and told her with a independent opinion what it's worth. And that was a real, that's a real service.
Oh, yeah. And we don't charge anything for doing that. So we're more than happy to look at estates. We do estate appraisals. We do insurance appraisals on paper money and coins and things like that, too, at no cost.
Yeah, and also, too, we've talked about that in precious metals. You can look at the stories. I mean, one just kind of was resolved in court here recently. People buying precious metals online, and people are getting taken here. So better deal with somebody that has an address in a mailbox and names like Ron and Nancy and Anna when you go do that.
Yes.
So it's important to do.
Absolutely. All right. We can test stuff for people too. But yeah, most importantly, you want to make sure that what you're getting is actual gold and silver, because I've heard some special stories too where they bought stuff that's less than spot, and that just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, y'all, the old, yes, the old, if it's too good to be true, it is.
It is.
Tell people how to find
you. Yes. We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile, just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
All right. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Get to some of the texts here, ones that I did not get to earlier. I guess everybody's caught up on the situation right now with the Iranian response, where they... it sounds like, because there was worry because there was sirens going off on multiple in Kuwait and Bahrain, in Syria, in Iraq, because we have bases in Syria and Iraq as well. But the only one now that's been confirmed is Iranian missiles reaching the U.S. base in Qatar, I think, right? In Qatar, no damage reported. And it's interesting. So last hour, and it kind of clicked with me, when Congressman Carl said this, because I talked about it when early on in the conflict, Iran would respond, like Israel would, you know, launch missiles and attacks into Iran, and then Iran would shoot back, but it was like the majority taken out by the Iron Dome. So the mullahs got to say, yeah, we're doing something back to them, but it really wasn't causing enough, you know, enough damage for an escalation. Well, that's obviously between Iran and Israel. That's gone way up now. But I wonder if that's what they're hoping for. So they launch these missiles at the U.S. base, probably knowing that they're going to be shot down. And thank God, no death. And they're saying now no damage reported at the base. So they had, if you watch the video too, it's like it's reminiscent of what it looked like over Israel, right, with the interceptors going up and taking them out. So that's what's going on right now. Of course, what comes next, we don't know. Let's see. To the text line here, Hal said, we need help down on DIP. The 25-year target fixation on downtown has turned my neighborhood into a finishing school for thugs. It's a great sentence, Hal. If we call police, if when they show up, they're surly and argumentative and accuse us of wasting their time. It's so bad that everyone believes the cops are dirty down here. That there are no gangs in Mobile statement was a signpost on the road to ruin. At least that's changed, right, Hal? Remember the years I've been doing the show when they were saying that a couple chiefs ago, and they were saying, oh, there's, you know, it went from there's no gangs to there's gangs that are like neighborhood oriented, just folks. And then it was like, okay, well, maybe there's some gangs, to the point now that we have international gangs operating in the city. So they are those times. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. My guest in the noon hour, Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood, is going to join us, and we'll talk with him about that on tomorrow's show. You know, and how you've been consistent with this, you know, talking about what you feel is an abandonment of you and the community on the parkway. If there's certain officers that are not, you believe they're not doing the job, you need to, and maybe you have, you need to call headquarters. You need to say something. Not just to me, but I know there are probably many. If there's somebody that, I mean, a specific thing that's not being done, you're a citizen. You have the right to public safety. Tell me, what have you contacted them, and let me know what their response was. All right, let's see. Doesn't Have Meta said, so missiles were fired at the base in Qatar, but Iran said it wasn't us. Could have been militias. There better be a Toby Keith worthy daisy cutter dropped from an unmarked plane this evening with the explanation, it must have been the militias. Well, these are coming out of Iran, right? So the veil, the very thin, the cheesecloth that's been out in the sun, thin veil of it wasn't us, Iran with their proxies, has been pulled away. So I think those days are, we know where it comes from. I said today on the show, there's some people that are so excited about a war with Iran. I am not one of those people. I do worry about what comes next. And as I went through, I delineated in the first hour, like my list of things that I had written, a little bit of it last night and finalized it this morning, but options that could happen from Iran. So by the time I came on the air today, number one had been answered. So I said, you know, what would the Iranian response be? And number one, conventional response, you know, on our troops in the region, like Syria, Iraq, Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, UAE. So that one was answered. Next one on the list, what about sleeper cells, lone wolves? I mean, this is not a big stretch. I mean, the Iranians have had foiled attempts to kill Americans, kill other countries' citizens that are in the United States. Hell, don't y'all remember me going on and on about the FBI looking for the Iranian assassin that was in the United States and trying to recruit people? Remember that? So how many of those people are here? And then also, if not that, what about the what about a cyber attack? And maybe you say, well, Iran's not going to. Well, Iran, maybe that's where the Russians help them. What is their fuzzy bear or whatever their hacking group is, gummy bear, whatever the dang thing is. It's no Mustang Panda, which is China's hacking group. I'm not joking. It's called Mustang Panda. Maybe they work with the Russians for a cyber attack that could hit power, water, information, infrastructure here. So, I mean, will there be further response from the mullahs? We'll see how many of them are left. That was telling, too, and I really still don't know how that information got out, and it may be, I'm not saying it's not true. It has a slight scent of propaganda. I'm not saying it's not true. I've just been doing this a while. Because I don't know how this information gets out. Ayatollah Khamenei has named his, I think, three deep replacements, because chance he'll be room temperature soon, and also reshuffled in their military command, reshuffled and put names of successors in for his military commanders that are still alive. And I think it's too deep in that, which is probably makes sense from a military perspective, but it tells you what they think their future might be. All right, coming back, it's time for a checkup right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and it's time for a checkup and a new face in studio, clinician with AltaPoint, Robin Riggins. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
And so we talk about one part of this I've heard of before, one part I have not heard of before, and this is, I guess, the whole idea is depression that's resistant to treatment, right? Somebody has depression. Hey, take this. And they, what happens? They just don't feel anything from it? Or what? Describe that condition.
Well, basically, it's any clinical symptom related to major depressive disorder that's unresponsive to the traditional frontline medications, the traditional antidepressants, and then counseling. And so we have to look at other alternatives. You know, the symptoms that they experience are the basic symptoms from depression, like the overwhelming, persistent sadness, extreme fatigue, lethargy. They have anhedonia, which is the inability to really experience pleasure about the things they normally would feel pleasure about. And they're just not able to shake it. It affects their sleep, their appetite, and they can feel hopeless and sometimes suicidal. So when unresponsive to the traditional means of treatment, they just worsen and deepen.
Wow. I'm sure there's something that, you know, if you're already down and then you've been given something and it doesn't work, that probably exacerbates the situation.
It truly does.
And maybe another interview another time, I'd love to figure out if there's been research done into why you go in and I go in. We both had depression and mm-hmm. I take one medicine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm better. And you take that same medicine. You're not.
Well, it's multifactorial, and of course, they're always studying to find out more and more about it. But basically, what we do know is that people that respond to traditional means of treatment, we can go through those brain pathways and those medications work. What happens when it's treatment resistant, there are different brain pathways. So we have to
It's not the same in all people that suffer from depression.
That's correct.
Just because somebody says I got depression, it doesn't mean it's mapped the same way.
That's right.
Learn a new thing. So let's talk about this. Different ways to treat. So somebody who comes back and says it's not working, the original mm-hmm. prescriptions, you'll have some different techniques. First of all, this is the one I have not heard of, but it's, I guess, in the headlines now. Am I saying it's Spravato?
Spravato.
What is Spravato?
It is basically a medication that's administered as a nasal spray.
Okay.
And is provided on an outpatient basis at the clinic under clinical supervision. There's a prescribed number of sessions that you have, and it's extremely quick acting.
Yeah, I was about to ask, nasal spray, I mean, we kind of get this idea that most things are going to be oral medications, but this is mm-hmm. because it gets into your system faster? Or?
It does. And we monitor for 2 hours after each session just to make sure that there are no side effects and blood pressure is what it needs to be, and then they can go home. Spravato is one of the preferred methods because it is quick acting. And people will generally come in for Spravato if they've been approved for that and it looks like it's going to be effective. They'll come in and for 4 weeks, twice a week, they come in for the dose. We observe and monitor them for 2 hours after each time and then they go home. Then the next phase is another 4 weeks and it's one dose of spray.
Okay.
And it's monitored. And after that, depending on how well they respond, we do maintenance. It may be that they need a follow-up or a booster in 6 months. It may be.
But they don't have to take a daily. They don't have to take. Once they come in, they do. They mm-hmm. they don't have to do it daily. It's going to last with them.
Right. After the prescribed series. Right.
That's interesting. That's probably a little more convenient for people, too.
It is.
You know, and thinking about this, so somebody that's completely resistant to other treatments for depression, but I wonder, what about somebody who is either it's lost efficacy or they kind of get some response from this other another pill or something, but mm-hmm. are they also a candidate for this?
They're also a candidate. That's correct. Because most of the time, people obviously are already on an antidepressant regimen that's not working or they've tried multiple.
Or half. It's like, I don't have the, you have the clinical terms, like half working. Mm-hmm. I mean, can somebody mm-hmm. say, man, I can tell something, but it's not as
so they could say, maybe I should try this new thing.
Well, maybe this will help make sense of this and say they're coming in on that regimen. It's not working effectively at all. And they start Spravato. Spravato targets a part of the brain that's underactive. It's not producing the chemistry that's required to regulate the mood. So what happens with these two options that we are providing, that's the Spravato and there's another TMS that we'll be discussing, it targets that part of the brain so that it stimulates the chemistry that needs to happen. So it kind of jump starts that. And ultimately what happens, this helps the medication that they're already on to either work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There are times we've been able to reduce it. There have been times that people have come off the medication. So it's helpful in a couple of ways, depending on the person.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's actually what I had a discussion with someone from Balls Point last year about this. This describe this here because I think this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a pill at all.
Right. It is medication free. The actual procedure. It too is a prescribed number of sessions for each person, and it's done at the clinic. And no clinical observation is required for this one because there's no medication involved. However, it's magnetic pulse. It's like gentle taps on the side of the head or at some point on the scalp after we've mapped the brain to see what part of the brain is not responding, not producing the chemistry I mentioned earlier. And so once it's mapped, then those magnetic pulses stimulate that area. And it takes about 15 minutes per
session. Talking magic here. Okay, so so you've analyzed, okay, this part is not doing what it's supposed to do. It needs to be – and the is there a layman's version of how the magnet makes that wake up or start producing?
Well, it's part of the vibration part.
Really?
It's just like a little vibration. And if you're ever present to watch the process, it's like a tapping. You hear a little clicking, a little tapping on the outside of their scalp. And it doesn't hurt. The only side effect that we've really heard of at this point is they might have a little dull headache right afterwards, but nothing serious. And it just stimulates with the pulses, the tapping, so that it stimulates and creates that chemistry. So it's amazing.
It is. I mean, you see, I'm slack-jawed here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of like knock, knock, wake up, mm-hmm. you know, with this. And
What's exciting to me, after having worked in mental health for 37 years, I've seen quite a bit of progress, particularly with depression. And this is fascinating to me because people say, I have forgotten that I couldn't see color. I had stopped seeing color. Now, they're not talking about visually. They're talking about emotionally and mentally, that the world was so dim and it just is doom and gloom for them that they forgot about the vividness of the world and how. And so a lot
that's
of times
gotta be
say,
fun to be mm-hmm, there mm-hmm. alongside somebody when they recount that.
Well, especially when they've had the treatment resistant depression. So they've gone for who knows how long not feeling anything and not feeling any relief. So all of a sudden the veil is lifted. So it is exciting to watch.
Yeah, I can imagine watching somebody's face and watching them express that. Mm-hmm. It's pretty special.
I spoke with a lady today, and she said she had been depressed for about 10 years. And she said she'd given up all hope, and she was not able to work. She was not able to provide for her family. She would let her self-care go. She said, I was an embarrassment to myself, and I just didn't care. I didn't have the energy. She said, but a veil was lifted. She said, I feel like I'm a new person. She said, it's amazing. And as I'm talking to her, it's not an elation. It's not an exaggerated mood. She's finally feeling something. So
that's got to be cool.
Mm-hmm, it is.
I mean, I hate that they had to suffer in the first place to get to the place that's cool. Mm-hmm. But y'all provide these, you said, in clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So and so for Spravato, it's how long?
Well, they'll come in for Spravato for 4 weeks, and that's 2 doses a week.
Okay.
Then another 4 weeks to point for one dose. And then we look at maintenance, and that just depends on the person's response. TMS, you come in every day for 5 days for 6 weeks.
Okay.
The next phase is 2 to 3 weeks. You come in 2 to 3 times. And then after that would be a maintenance phase, or what we call booster phases. It may be 6 months, 4 months. It could be a year.
Depends on the individual, yeah.
And it's only a few sessions. It's fascinating to see and to see them be able to reduce their medication if that's their preference, you know.
Okay, let's talk about this, the money side of it, okay. Kind of cost and insurance. I mean, like the transcranial, is that something insurance covers?
It does. Here's what's fascinating about that, because you know how insurance works.
Uh-huh.
Well, because of the...
I don't actually know. I just know that sometimes I'm very confused by it. So.
Because of the benefit that's been seen, the results have been so positive. And you got to remember, when someone's been this depressed for this long, it affects every part of their life and they may not be able to work. It can contribute or even trigger chronic medical conditions, diabetes, mm-hmm. obesity, blood pressure. So people are going to the doctor more often. They're in the hospital more often, but their health is not as good as it could be. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it from insurers going, okay, if I can do this, mm-hmm. that saves me cost elsewhere just to get to the brass tacks of it, right?
So most major insurances do cover.
Okay.
And we have a team that when someone's interested in this process, we have a team that works with them and their insurance to get the prior authorization so they don't have to worry about that.
Okay. So if people want to say, you know, Robin's just described me or a loved one, mm-hmm. how do they get, what do they call and ask for? Who do they call?
They can call our Access to Care, which is with AltaPoint, and that number is 251-450-2211, and ask them about the treatment-resistant depression. They can also ask
even if they don't remember the names of it, they say, correct. I got treatment-resistant mm-hmm. depression. Mm-hmm.
And what I would ask first, talk with your primary care physician or talk with your psychiatrist if you have one and ask them about it. Come to see us and we'll have a team meet with you to talk about what your options are. And then we will work in conjunction with your primary care or your psychiatrist and make sure that continuity of care is maintained so that you can continue. Because what we're finding, people benefit much more from their therapy once
after they
go through the treatment.
It all kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Robin, thank you for your time. Thanks for talking about this with us.
Thank you.
AltaPoint clinician Robin Briggins right here on Midday Mobile, and time for a checkup.